These are the days that define season.
Redden again. Cipriani, a little bit of floating magic. Cipriani scores for Wasps. Wow. They've been on the back foot all game, but Danny Cipriani strikes.
Bopper, now Daly, and now Piatow! They don't do the ordinary. They do not do the ordinary. And players who couldn't watch that kick, players who turn their back on Jimmy Goffin, envelop him in celebration, and the Rico goes mad. Halley is going down the line.
What has Poitrineau done? He's waited for the ball to go. Howley will not give the cause up. It's infield. It's a try. It is a try.
September 26th, 2008. The last time Wasps went to Welford Road in the Premiership and won. Since 2014, September 2014, only London Irish and Sale have gone to Welford Road and won in all competitions. But now you can add Wasps to that list. You can update the last time we won at Welford Road, because we went into Leicester's house and we beat them. What was a fantastic performance from Wasps at the weekend. I know I certainly enjoyed watching it, although at times I nearly had a heart attack watching it. Rob, you were there. What was the atmosphere like?
Earlier in the week, Richard Cockrell had claimed that this wasn't a derby fixture. The atmosphere at Welford Road on Saturday had every bit the edge that you would expect from an East Midlands derby between Tigers and Saints. It was really, really loud. I mean, it is such a good place to watch rugby when it's full. There were a lot of Wasps supporters there, a lot more than certainly I have ever seen there. And I thought it was such a good game of rugby as well. Obviously, Wasps racing out into the lead just after half time, just started to relax at 27-8, and all of a sudden, I think Tigers scored the try, and then Guy Thompson gets yellow carded, and Jimmy missed those two kicks at the end, which he claims to have missed on purpose to score the try. It was just a terrific game of rugby, and just delighted that hoodoo is over. And I thought we thoroughly deserved the win.
Yeah, I thought we did. I thought at times some of the decisions that Greg Garner made were just strange. I don't think either side. If anything, they possibly benefited a little bit more than us, but by the end of the game, he was sort of confused both sets of fans.
I think he evened it up, because I think Guy Thompson's yellow card was harsh.
Yeah, and I think Beetham's
was harsh as well.
I think it was even, but it was strange, some of the decisions. Really defined it strange. So the last time we won at Welford Road, there were no Wasps players in Saturday's team, that were in the team on that day, 2008.
Well, Danny Cipriani was at the club at the time, but he wasn't playing.
No, he was. I think he was still injured from the semi-final the year before, when he fractured and dislocated his ankle, which was nasty. I was there at Adams Park, and that was not a nice scene. But I thought, coming away from that Leicester game with now 9 points in a situation where we could have started this season with two losses and had 0 points at this stage is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And as well, how many players have we got to come in? Kyle Eastmond, Curtly Beale, Willie LaRue. You know, I know we're only two games in, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, I think our forwards have won us these two games. I read a great piece, I can't remember where it was, I think it was in the Rugby paper this weekend, about how our style, our forward pack style is this quick, very agile, very quick players who get around so well that they run the bigger forward packs off the park, which has happened both weeks, is sort of the new way of playing. And however so often rugby goes through these cycles of you get big men and then you get little men running around them and then you get big men powering over them again. And we've sort of hit that cycle at the right time and it's winning us games.
Yeah, I think David Flatman got it spot on ITV on the highlights program this week. He said, while you can't doubt Watt's back line, the forward pack, you know, looked vulnerable because on Saturday with Nathan not playing and Thomas Young hasn't played hardly any rugby pre-season. But I think the whole back row was absolutely magnificent. Sam Jones has been the unsung hero for Wasps. He was my man of the match on Saturday. He has been superb both weeks so far.
Yeah, and everything we said building up to the season about going on that Saxons tour has really benefited him, I think. Sort of, he's come back with a new hunger to be the best player he can be, and it's great.
He is pushing Haskell for that sixth shirt.
Yeah, I think so. If he keeps this level of performance up, then it's really a horses for courses situation between the two of them. Anyway, on to our breakdown of the game. It's the reverse from last week. Rob's going to do the positives. I'm going to try and do three negatives. It took me a long time to think of these negatives, and one of them's a bit of a stretch, but... Rob, take it away with the positives.
So my positives were we won a game that 9 times out of 10 in the past we have lost. Number two, we matched Leicester in the scrum, which we've not been able to do for a long time. And number three, I've mentioned it already, but our back row was absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, all very good. All very good points. And I'm just going to hit the negative straight in and then we'll sort of discuss them because a couple bounce off one another. Yes, we won the game, a game that we'd normally lose, but we did our best to lose it, giving away far too many penalties after half time and just invited the pressure back on us. That's point one. And point two also sort of stems from that as well, is that we didn't finish them off when we had the chance. That Saracens, and as much as I hate saying this, they go on and they win 45 points to 10. Well, they win 50 points to 10. They don't stop. The relentlessness that they have just isn't quite there from us. We don't quite have the killer instinct to go off and really make that game safe, and it showed. And part of that's got to go to Leicester because they came back into it very well. But it felt like we really should have just gone and really finished them off there. And then my final negative is our kicking off the tee was poor, under pressure at the end. And there's obviously the jokes, it didn't matter because we scored the try. But really, as Jimmy misses the first one, he's got to make the second one. He should be making them both, but if you miss one, he's got to make the other.
Yeah, I'd agree with all those points. I think the point you're making about not finishing teams off, I think Wasps, you could tell Wasps hadn't won at Welford Road for 8 years. You know, I think they were just trying. You could tell they're under pressure. They thought, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to stop people talking about, oh, we've not won at Welford Road since 2008. And they just went into their shell for sort of 15, 20 minutes. I think actually what changed the game for the positive was the Guy Thompson yellow card. Because bar the Burns penalty, which was the result of the yellow card, we didn't concede any points and Leicester did not get into our 22 once in that period.
No, that's a. I think that's very true, and we have this ability now to really dig in when the chips are down, when we're really under pressure. We lock ourselves in and really can play as a team to an incredibly high standard. I thought that Sam Jones really stepped up when Guy wasn't on the pitch, as did Joe. That was sort of Joe's best 10 minutes of the game. He had a fantastic game, rightfully named man of the match in my opinion. But I think the 10 minutes that Guy was there, Joe was playing like two players. He was tackling like two players, and he was really getting him, putting himself about. And that's that has having him as captain and him doing that is such a good example for the rest of the team. And there's been a lot spoken about how Joe's not really the most vocal person as a captain, but when he's doing that and he's putting himself about all the time, he doesn't need to be vocal because the other boys in the team can see what he's doing and think, actually, he's in it with us. He's not, like, being captain's not gone to his head. He's actually even working harder than he was already. And that was really good to see.
Yeah, I think, picking up on your point about the penalties, I had a look at the stats. In the second half, we conceded 9 penalties in the whole half, of which 8 were in our own half.
Yeah, and
Burns missed one kick and the conversion for the tries, well, the two conversions for the two Tigers tries. So, in a way, we got away with it because they kicked one to the corner as well that we defended. But you can't be conceding any penalties in your own half.
No, that was a real weakness. And I hate to keep bringing it back to Saracens, but they're the benchmark for me. They're the only team who are better than us in this league at the minute.
And yeah, I agree.
Even that's questionable in a one-off game. But you do that against Saracens and you're 27 points down.
Well, we did in the European semi-final. Yeah. Conceded far too many penalties in that game.
So if we can put it off, and I think a lot of them came at the breakdown, and I think they were quite unfair because Leicester were laying over the ball the whole day. There was various instances of Leicester players going off their feet that weren't pinged, but
To be fair, we had a bit. I mean, there was two or three times Wadey was holding on that didn't get pinged. I thought, to be fair to Garner, he did keep a lid on the game, as in it never sort of, he never lost control of the game, if you see what I mean. Because in that, the atmosphere inside the stadium was red hot. It was one of those games that I personally think Wayne Barnes should have been given it, because he would have controlled that perfectly.
Yeah, I think there's not enough of that in the Premiership. Big refs should get the big games, and I know Paul at the Coventry Telegraph's written a couple of articles about it. And that is a Wayne Barnes game or a JP Doyle game, either.
Absolutely.
You don't want
any, you know, 24,000 at Welford Road, local derby. You know.
Yeah. But the wait for us to get JP Doyle or Wayne Barnes in a Premiership game goes on. It's almost back to the end, the beginning of the last year now, I think, since we had even.
We've got Tim Wigglesworth on Sunday, I can tell you that, against Bristol.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to factor into the game as much on Sunday, because I expect us to win with a bonus point. More on that, obviously, coming up in a bit. Now I want to talk about our backline a little bit, because it's not. I don't think we've fully hit our straps yet in the backs. I thought at times we played some wonderful stuff against Leicester. There's been some bashing of Cipriani from someone on this podcast over the week.
It's not bashing of Cipriani. It's more a suggestion that if Carl Eason is fit, and I'll go on to this a bit later. At the moment, obviously, first choice 10 for me. But I think Cipriani on Saturday in the first half was superb. In the second half, there were a few stray kicks that Burns returned. But apart from that, I thought he played well Saturday, but I think Goffin's ahead of him for the 10 shirt at the moment.
There's 4 or 5 bits of skill in that game that Cipriani executes that are unique. Absolutely unique. There's not another 10 in the Premiership that would execute those skills. There's the pass to Elliot Daly, the delayed pass as Elliot ran on that arc and really sighed through the defence. There was one right towards the end of the game where Cipriani sold the dummy with his eyes so well and sent Launchbury through. And he just gets our backline moving at a pace that I didn't see it going last year all that often. Especially when Jimmy was at 10. He's a great player and he's flourishing at 12 because I think he's not got to make the decisions as quickly. And it almost suits him better to be at 12.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Sips will play. Once we've got Beal at 12, I reckon then you're looking at Cipriani, because I think Cipriani and Beal at 10-12 could be very exciting.
To me, Eastmond doesn't even feature in the starting 15 for the next couple of weeks until he can come onto the bench and prove that he deserves to be there. Because I don't think either, definitely Gopper proved he deserves to be there. But I think Cipriani, over the last 2 weeks, considering it's a new team, it's a new backline, he's learning, he's still got to learn patterns in the game, has proved that he deserves to be there.
I don't know if anybody saw, did a little pre-match video before the game on Saturday. I said the Simpson-Cipriani battle would be, duo would be key. I thought Simpson's kicking was excellent.
Yeah, I think Simpson, although I'm not sure of Robson's availability, I think you've got a bit more on that later for the weekend, but for me Simpson's in the number one. He's got the nine shirt at the minute, because I thought he was key to our performance this weekend. He keeps the game flowing very well, he keeps the ball flowing very quickly, and his kicking game is second to none at the minute. He is very, very good with the box kick, and Cipriani seems to work a little bit better with him. Maybe it's that bond coming back from when they were youngsters playing in the team, but they just seem to work that little bit better. But I think Cipriani
I'll tell you what I would like.
Stay 10-12 until someone unseats them. I don't think you change. When you've gone and you've beaten Exeter at home and you've beaten Leicester at Welford Road, you don't go changing your 10-12.
No, I agree. But as Dyke keeps saying, it's a long season. And if you're going to change it in these first six games, then this is probably the one to do it, because after this we have Northampton away, Quinns at home, Saracens away.
Yeah.
My thinking wasn't that Cipriani deserves to be dropped. It's thinking if Dye's keeping this policy of rotation that he used last season, then Bristol at home is probably the game. It's certainly Bristol at home and Zebre at home in the European Cup are probably the games he's going to use it in this first block.
Yeah, quite possibly. Right, we're going to go on to do a couple of our weekly segments. We're going to start off with this round in history, where we go back, we find a game from this week, will be round three of the Aviva Premiership, and just talk through the memories of the game. Rob, you're going to kick it off this week.
I'm taking you back to 2010, Wasps hosting Leicester, actually, at Adams Park. It was Wasps' first home game of the season, the first official home game had been moved to Twickenham as part of the London doubleheader. It was Tom Varndell's Wasps' Adams Park debut. I'm sure we'll be speaking more about him later. He scored two tries as Wasps went in front. Leicester then scored four tries in no time at all and led at half-time by 30 points to 18. But slowly but surely, Wasps pulled it back. Dave Warder kicked five penalties in the second half, and then Richard Horton and his hair scored the winning try as Wasps won 37-30 in an absolute thriller.
Yeah, there's been some great games between us and them over the years.
Dye made the point, actually, after the game that the sort of the rivalry had slipped, sort of with Wasps' decline, but it's certainly going back up now, and game on Saturday proves that.
Yeah. Right, my game is actually, I'm going to be taking you back far again, a long, long way. I was searching through the Wasps fixture lists and nothing really jumped out until I saw this game in September, the 3rd of September 2000, back when the Premiership used to start in the middle of August. And Wasps faced this weekend's opponents, Bristol at Loftus Road. And they won 23-17 to get their first win of the season. Tries from Phil Greening and Kenny Logan. push Wasps on to victory. Now, that sounds like a great game. Kenny was one of my favourite players. When I first started watching Wasp, I always loved Kenny Logan.
Good shout.
Can't hear you all that well, just saying.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Cool.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so that's that done. I've really enjoyed that, going back through, looking at Wasp games.
Yeah.
I hope you guys do as well. Right, we're going to move on to our second weekly segment. We're going to pile them both in between the two games here. And this is our weekly Ask Sting segment. So if you don't know already, the guys at Wasps Rugby News, they're on Twitter, they're on Facebook. On Twitter every Monday, they do this thing called Ask Sting. You access it by typing in the hashtag Ask Sting. And what they do is they post 5 questions up. And it's just a debate between Wasps fans, their answers to the questions. Now, every week, we take one of the questions, we give our answer to it, just to further the debate a little bit. This week, we're going to go with question 5 from Monday. I think it's the second question 5 we've gone with. So, with man of the match performances from Tommy Taylor against Exeter and Joe Launchbury against Leicester, who has been your standout player so far after 2 rounds?
Mine is Jimmy Goffin. Pleasantly surprised to see him do so well, to be honest. Didn't expect to see him at 12, really, but to be honest, it's a combination, him and Cipriani. The guy has sort of fallen upon. You know, I don't think they would have planned that. The try scored against Exeter, I think if Christian Wade or someone scores that, we go absolutely mad and say they should be in the England squad. And then he just appears on the end of a rolling maul. I think his only negative was the missed kicks on Saturday, but Jimmy Goffa for me.
This is something I want to start. It's a movement. This is Jimmy Goffa's rugby tour. Because against Exeter, he impersonated Christian Wade scoring that try. Against Leicester, for Wade's try that he set up, he did his best George Smith impersonation, where he tackled the player, and as he spun over, stripped the ball, got up, ran round and chipped it over for Wade to score. So what I want to know is, Jimmy, if you're listening, bit of an outside shot, I know, who are you going to impersonate this week?
If it's Ashley Johnson, I can't wait for the game.
So, you guys out there, if you're listening, tweet us at the Wasp Report. Who do you think Jimmy Goffin is going to impersonate this week in a Wasp shirt? Now, the player that stood out to me is Guy Thompson. Obviously, he had a fantastic game against Toulon when we went to the Felix Stadmeyer and almost won, came so tantalisingly close to winning. And obviously went off injured there and didn't play until the beginning of this season. We kind of didn't know where he was going to be after that. And he's come in and been excellent. Started at 7 against Exeter, then moved to 8 for the game against Leicester and was fantastic in both games. He just puts himself about so much. And the try he scored against Leicester was something that, well, a Manu Tuilagi or a... And even an Elliot Daly at centre would have been proud of scoring that try from where he scored it. And I think he's such an asset to have because he's so different to Hughes that the two of them can play. You can have almost the two of them, either one starting every week at 8, and both keep fresh, and they're two completely different players.
Fantastic dive as well for the try.
Yeah. Right, on to the Bristol game. Bit of a preview for you. We're going to do as usual our sort of positional battle that we expect to be crucial to the game. I'm going to start this week. We've got, for me, is a name who's a real grizzled veteran at the scrum, and that is Sioane Tonga-Weir. Started for Bristol last week against his former club Saints. He goes up against Jake Cooper-Woolley this weekend in what will be a fascinating matchup. So if Jake can get on top of him at the scrum, which could prove really difficult because Sioane knows a lot about the dark arts of scrummaging, then he will win that battle. Because I've I wholeheartedly believe Cooper Woolley will be more effective in the loose, but Tonga Weir could really put it on him at scrum time, and that could be dangerous for us.
Yeah, I saw Tonga Weir play for Tonga in the World Cup, and he actually got over it. It was the try they scored against Argentina. He was on the end of a sort of backs move. You know, he's still got it. You know, it's been a while since he played for Northampton, but it was always a bit of a thorn in our side when he was at Northampton. But I think Jake Cooper, like I said on here before, I think Jake Cooper will be an England prop in the making. I really do. I think he's a quality player.
Yeah, I think so. But yourself, what's your positional battle this week?
Well, we seem to have a decent record of putting the mockers on players who we feature. Ollie Woodburn for Exeter, Pete Deason for Leicester. So I kind of don't want to say this guy, but we have to talk about him because a Wasp legend is returning to the Rico on Sunday, and that is Tom Varndell, and he is going up against his great friend Christian Wade in what could be one of the fastest battles of the season, really. It's going to be great to see Tom back at the Rico. I'm sure everybody there will give him a tremendous reception. He's a fantastic servant for our club. And I'm sure Wade is going to want to skin him on the outside.
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating. Just on that, I've got a little request for everyone listening, everyone who's going to the game, and that is that when Tom's name's read out as part of the teams, or when he arrives on the Bristol coach, or if he gets substituted in the game, please stand up and give him a standing ovation. Cheer as much as you can. I know he's Bristol, I know he's the opposition, but it's not hyperbole to say without him, there would be no Wasps at the Rico Arena. There would be no Kirtley Beale. There would be no Champions Cup semi-finals, because back when we almost got relegated, Tom Varndell in the game against Bath, I believe it was.
Bath at the Rec.
Put in a fantastic try-saving tackle. Like you have never seen. It was the way he got across to I believe it was Sam Vesti, who was going in the corner and took him out into touch. And Wasps went on to win that game. And then went on to stay up on the final day of the season against Newcastle. He is the reason we're here. So every chance you get, please give him a cheer. Applause.
Yeah, and I just want to thank Sam Vesti while we're on it for celebrating 10 yards out from the line. Very kind of you, Sam.
Yeah, maybe Sam's the reason we're here. No, it's all Tom.
No.
Obviously, Bristol.
I'm just going to do some just a bit of team news, actually. Heading into this week's game. If you don't know, I've been lucky enough to be doing work experience up at the Colt Telegraph this week. So I went to Dye's press day, which was, today we're recording this on Tuesday. So Martin Moore went off with a slight knock on Saturday. Dye didn't really say, but I suspect he won't play this week. So Cooper Woolley to start there. Carl Eastman will train. They're hoping he's going to train Wednesday and Thursday, but they're going to sort of make a late decision on that. I think bench at best for Kyle this week. A few other bits. He was quite cautious about the back row, so they might well stick with the same 6-7-8 that started the Leicester game. So that would mean Nathan would be on the bench again, and Dan Robson is another week away from fitness.
Yeah, that's it's a fair few sort of the teams that falls into place, really. Not a lot will change from last week because players aren't available to come back in yet.
Oh, and Keenan Mile is fit and ready for selection as well. So he I don't know whether he'll be involved, but he's back fit.
Yeah, I think he possibly will be. I think James Gaskell hasn't really impressed me all that much in the game time he's had.
It could be Simmons starting and Mile on the bench.
It could well be, because the two of them are such good line-out technicians. They really make that part of our game very safe. Obviously, Bristol haven't won yet this season. They lost last week to Northampton, who got four tries, so they got the bonus point at home. I think we should be looking for a four-try win here. They'll be dangerous. Tom Van Dell's obviously very dangerous. 2CPC, 10 is one to watch because he's very quick feet, very good hands. Can be very attacking 10.
And the guy at 13 as well, I can't remember his name, but he was very good in their opening game against Quinns. Harrell, is it, at 13?
I don't know off the top of my head, I'm afraid.
Something like that.
So, yeah, I think they'll be dangerous. Obviously, Jordan Crane's a very well-travelled player. I haven't got much more of a compliment to give him than that because he's ex-Leicester and has been a bit...
Yeah, I tell you what, I met him last year. He's a nice guy, really nice guy.
Shame he wasn't like that on the field.
Yeah.
But yeah, there'll be... But I think we should just have too much quality and a bonus point, a must at home to Bristol if we want to get in the top two. And I think it's time now, seeing the two performances we've had, to really mark it as getting the top two rather than top four. I think we're the two best.
I agree. I think a key area is going to be the bench. Bristol's bench isn't going to have the quality that Dye is going to be able to call upon. You know, I mean, we've hardly mentioned him this season, have we? Because he's been on the bench. Frank Alloy is sat on the bench for us. That's the strength and depth we've got, you know. So I'd expect Bristol to be competitive for probably 50 minutes, an hour, and that last 20 minutes Wasps could pull away.
Yeah, I think Frank starts for me this week. I don't think Bassett's had two okay games. He was very good against Exeter. He struggled a bit against the Tigers, and so I think that policy of rotation comes back in, and you just give Frank a game in one where he's not under as much pressure, so be a bit easier for him to get back into the season, back into some of the try scoring form he was in last year.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't mention anything about the backs changing. One thing I did actually, they asked him about Curtly Beale. And don't be surprised if Curtly starts at 15 before Willie LaRue gets here once he's fit. I think that's where Dye wants to initially play him.
Yeah, I think so. Rob Miller's a great player, but I just...
If he's got Curtly Beale.
And by the time Curtly comes in, Rob will need a rest anyway because he'll have played every single minute of every single game, I imagine.
Yeah. A little bit more injury news. A couple of weeks and Alapati Leua should be back in for selection. So there's another option at 12.
Yeah, I knew it was always going to take Leua a little bit of time to get back. He's had such rotten luck with injuries. He's worth taking those extra couple of weeks to get him back so he's really fully fit.
I think they're aiming for the Champions Cup game to bring him back.
Well, the Zebra game seems like a perfect opportunity if he's fit in time. Because it's not it's a game we'd expect to win comfortably, so that's a great game to sort of reintroduce him into the side. And if he can get fit and reclaim some of the form, he will be pushing at 12 as well. There will be a real push for him to play, because if he gets anywhere near the form he was in for the Hurricanes before he moved, he was a dynamite player for them. And he can play on the wing, he can play anywhere in the centres, so I'd expect if he gets fit, he could make some big, big moves, but I doubt it because he's been out for so long injured. It's going to take him a while to really get back into top form, I think. Anyway, I think that's it from us.
Prediction?
Ah, yes. Prediction.
I was hopelessly wrong. You were close, actually, this week.
Yeah, I think I said Wasps by 8, which wasn't too far off. There were a fair few people that voted for Wasps by 8 or more, including me, on the poll we ran.
A lot of Wasps. And also on the poll, Jimmy Goppers was your vote for the man of the match. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different people that could have been man of the match this weekend. It was so pleasing. But predictions for this weekend. I'm going to go Wasps by 21.
21. I'm going Wasps by 25.
So both of us predicting a comfortable Wasps victory. It's the first time we've predicted a comfortable win. We've gone for close wins in both games so far. I just think too much quality for us, and we should be going out there and really putting it on.
Absolutely.
Right, that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter at The Wasps Report or www.thewaspsreport.com. I do publish some blog articles on there. I've got another one coming out at some point this week. And yeah, if you want to feel like you want to contribute to any of the content we do, hit us up on Twitter and we'll try and get you involved. Thank you very much for listening. Bye.